The closest thing to a legal marijuana store right now is a so-called medical marijuana dispensary. They're all over Seattle. Tacoma has a few as well. And you can go see what kinds of products they have.
Hi.
How you doing? I'm Jeremy.
Jeremy, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
It smells kind of nice in here.
Always. Your name is?
Bellamy.
Bellamy. Lovely to meet you.
I'm at the Center for Palliative Care in Seattle's Georgetown neighborhood, the CPC for short. It's a shop with a good reputation, an alternative to scary encounters with underground drug dealers. Co-founder Jeremy Kaufman says he's committed to the long-term goal of getting pot legalized nationally.
Anybody who's above board now, they're changing the experience of what has been something mostly horrific for everybody to something better.
I follow him through a brightly lit waiting room into what looks like an office with a big desk and shelves full of marijuana products you may not even know exist. He says they sell four types of products. It's not just pot flower buds for smoking. He explains there are also three other ways to get high: using topical creams on your skin, in oily drops that go under your tongue, and of course, there are food products such as pot brownies. All deliver the active ingredient in cannabis, THC.
If you apply topically, it's non-psychoactive and it's acute. If you take it in combustibly, it's basically instant acting, shortest in duration, but highest arcing as far as the mental activity with the compounds that are involved.
He's standing near a small fridge full of pot-laced foods, hash caramels, and gummy candies. There are spice jars full of succulent-looking buds with names like Maui Wowie, Thai Cinderella, and Silver Surfer. Also for sale are colorful glass bongs and tiny hash oil vaporizers that do less harm to smokers' lungs.
Yeah, this is $110, and this is vaporization of flower plant only. So it's very small. As you can see, it's about half the size of a business card, about 3/4 of an inch thick.
So is this range of products what we could expect to see in a legal state-run pot store?
Wow. I don't have a clue.
That's Sharon Foster. She's the chair of the Washington State Liquor Control Board, which would be the nation's pioneering policymaker for legalized marijuana if I-502 passes. The board was created 78 years ago after Prohibition ended in the U.S., and lately it's been closing liquor stores and watching over initiative-driven privatization of alcohol sales.
We've been regulators and enforcers for a long, long time, and so that's what we would be if the initiative passes. We would regulate and enforce. We would promulgate the rules, and we have great experience in that. And obviously, we would call in experts wherever we could find them.
She admits she's still learning about the effects of marijuana and all kinds of groups using it. She finds it funny to read that many seniors are reaching for pot to ease the aches and pains of aging, but also a little scary that some pot-laced products look like Tootsie Rolls that could be attractive to young people. Pausing for a photo over a cup of coffee, she says her agency would do everything in their power to make sure there's no criminal element in state stores. She says dispensary owners should expect new regulations.
We certainly wouldn't let them just flip their sign, and it probably wouldn't be much different than how we license somebody that's applying for a liquor license.
There would be strict screening with criminal background checks.
Fingerprint checks, and we would probably, as we do with a liquor license, set up a point system, and if you reach a certain point system, you are denied.
The liquor board would also be in charge of deciding where the stores would go and how many there would be to keep people and children safe while providing what the initiative calls an adequate supply. And that really means not making people who feel they need pot drive too far. One challenge: some of the most knowledgeable people in the industry have been breaking the law for decades.
I'm very excited to be talking about this finally after, you know, living this kind of lifestyle for the last 40 years when somebody asks you why you do, and you either have to just change the subject or lie.
Jeff Gilmore says he's been quietly growing pot and earning lots of money at it since about 1977, when a down economy got him into the business. He likes the idea that Washington could create thousands of legit jobs while becoming known as a boutique producer in a whole new realm, kind of like craft distilleries or microbrews.
Why not let Washington being world known for growing high quality marijuana, just the way Tennessee is known for making good bourbon?
But if pot becomes legal in Washington, the initiative says you could only consume it in private. And still unknown is how federal government officials would react if our state takes a pioneering step into a new realm of drug policy. Bellamy Palethorpe, KPLU News.